Good morning. I'm Diana Pan. I am the Interim Executive Director of ARI. And I want to thank you for joining us on a Friday at the end of the semester and in the middle of ANHPI Heritage Month. Happy Heritage Month to everyone. Now, for over two decades, the Asian American / Asian Research Institute, or ARI, as commonly known, has served not only CUNY, but also broader AANHPI communities in New York City. As our efforts and impact expand throughout the state, we also broaden our AAPI umbrella and growing community of peoples within and throughout the broader AANHPI diaspora. And some of you are probably like, what is this AANHPI that she is saying? I'm using AAPI and AANHPI interchangeably. AANHPI is Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander. As I said earlier, we're broadening, right? Really kind of this inclusive umbrella. And AAPI is, as we know, Asian American, Pacific Islander. So to that end, I want to acknowledge Dr. Jerry Jerome Crace's photo collection of Chinatowns around the world. I don't know if you saw that. It's projected here. I'm going to have been playing on loop for the last 40 minutes or so. I also want to highlight community organization, the South Asian Youth Association. They are here outside tabling right to the left as you exit those doors. Who joins us today sharing materials about their organization and their resources. And you may have also seen them when you were checking in. So the theme of this year's symposium speaks to the all-at-once singular, intersecting, collective, and multiple Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander identities. What does it mean to identify as AAPI or AANHPI? Our identities reflect our socialization within institutions, such as schools, places of worship, or community organizations. It reflects our cultures, reflects our histories. Today, we will learn about identities in K-12 schooling, through affinity groups, Greek letter organizations, citizenship status. We further interrogate how identities are preserved in oral histories and storytelling. We explore how identities activate and matter through self-defense and intersectional tea, both literal and figurative. As we pause to consider how a dearth of material on AANHPIs in current curriculum leads to perhaps a different consideration of identity, we can then think about our own and how to build upon it. As the day progresses, I invite you to consider your own moving identities during particular sessions and contexts. I'd like to direct you to the QR code on our paper program and also post it on the walls here. If you haven't had a chance to do so, that'll take you to our online description with descriptions of each session and biographies of our speakers and moderators. I want to give a special shout out to Anthony Wong and Drew Wei here, who for the program composition and formatting and for coordinating the symposium logistics. They're from the ARI office. I want to also give a tremendous thanks to Dr. Pyle Doctor, who is our local host here at CUNY Law and has been so very helpful to this event. Can we just give everyone a round of applause? Thank you. So I now am going to turn this podium over to Professor Chemchili Hook, who is faculty here at CUNY School of Law and also an ARI board member, who will introduce our next speaker.
Welcome. Good morning. I'm really deeply honored to introduce Dean Sudha Sethi. And also want to give enormous thanks to her for hosting us as the dean. She said, all I did was just say yes. And I said that that is tremendous because you've welcomed all of CUNY and CUNY affiliates to our home. And so welcome to our home of CUNY Law School. If this is your first, may it not be your last. So with that, let me introduce our wonderful dean. Dean Sethi joined the City University of New York School of Law as Dean and Professor of Law in July 2022. She is the first person of South Asian descent to lead a CUNY campus. Let me say that again. She is the first. Yes. I know it's get coffee. got coffee, okay? She's the first person of South Asian descent to lead a CUNY campus, and she is the first woman of South Asian descent to serve as a dean of any accredited law school. Thank you, thank you. Under her leadership, CUNY Law has revived the Hayward Burns. He's the really just a phenomenal founder, chair in, who transitioned, chair in human and civil rights. She's launched the path-breaking First Impressions Youth Project. Please, those of you who work in K-12, ask her about it. Creating the new Emerging Needs Clinic to serve asylum seekers and other vulnerable New Yorkers, and launched its first strategic planning process in a decade. That's a long time. In 2021, Dean Seti co-founded the inaugural workshop for Asian American Women in Legal Academy, now an annual event, which we hosted just this year, in which participants support each other in scholarship and building community. She's a recipient of the National Conference for Community and Justice Human Relations Award. She's on the Lawyers of Color Power List in 2020, Top Women in the Law by Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly, Trailblazer, as you see a common theme, first, leadership, trailblazer, Asian American, South Asian, of the South Asian Bar Association, 2017 Tapping Lead Legal Educator Award of Connect Bar Association, and 2018, Dean said he was elected to the membership of the American Law Institute as a fellow. And now, those of you who are non-lawyers might not know, because it's like, oh, lawyers, but it's really one of the prestigious honors for lawyers, and hopefully one day I can add that to my list. From 2018 to 2022, she served as the dean, so this is not her first run of deanship, of Western New England University School of Law, during which time she created the Center for Social Justice, led the faculty in commitments to anti-racism across the curriculum. And so she earned an AB in history from Stanford and a JD from Columbia Law School, where she was a Harlan Fiston scholar. And so it's really just, I highlight those points because leadership, API leadership in CUNY is so important, and she's done that, and she's paved the way. And so when she says yes, it means it's opening up opportunities for many more firsts. And so I just wanted to sort of like communicate that. The last thing I wanted to say is, and I got permission to share it, is when Dean said he came to the school for the first time, you know, when she sort of introduced, I saw these two persons, like, behind her. I figured out it was her parents. And they were so joyful that their daughter, as South Indian, as South Asian parents, got this really prestigious position. And in that moment, I laughed because I was like, yeah, I actually recognize that moment. Because my mother still, to this day, clips out anything where my name is mentioned. To be the first generation, to be API, to be South Asian, is so powerful. And so for that, I'm really grateful to you. Sudha, Dean Seti, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Chomtholi. That was an incredibly generous and kind introduction. And I really appreciate it. And I am grateful for it. As Chomtholi said, I've had the privilege of serving as dean here for almost 2 years now, and it is an amazing space for all the reasons I hope this group is familiar with, right? We are the engine for changing what the legal profession looks like, for changing what legal education looks like, and we send more of our students out to do public interest and social justice work by far compared to any other law school in the nation. So it is my privilege to serve as leader here. And I appreciate that. Yes, it is a reason for applause, I think. I want to start off by thanking all of the people who actually did the hard work of organizing this symposium, right, Chomtholi, for bringing the idea of hosting it at the law school to me, but all the folks on the committee, Diana, all of the board members, Pyle, other folks who have been doing amazing work here, and I know that there are many, many of you, and I'm only naming a few. But I just want to acknowledge that, right, at bringing a community together for a day, it seems like a wonderful event where we come here, we learn, we engage in community building, we network, and then we leave. But the amount of labor that it takes to pull that together is extraordinary. So thank you again to all of the people who would genuinely, not just like me saying yes, but genuinely did the work of making this happen. So thank you all. Yeah. Chantilly asked me to speak briefly a little bit about my identity and my work, and I will do that, but only briefly, because there's a lot of important conversations and a wonderful keynote speaker that is following me. And so I just want to say that Chantilly is right. Like, the moment that my parents came to the law school, it was very sweet, but I also told her when we were discussing this the other day, it didn't even occur to me as something irregular, abnormal, because this is what my parents do, right? Every place that I've ever worked, they want to come see my office, they want to come see my desk, and if I have a window and other things like that in the places that I'm working. It is the family that I grew up in. They immigrated to the States, and I think about this regularly, after the changes to the 1965 immigration structure in the United States, right, that lifted the cap on Asian immigrants, or at least raised the cap on Asian immigrants coming to this country. So I feel like in some senses my story, like a lot of folks in this room, is defined by law and policy. And so the power of that was given to me and known to me at a very, very early age. I think about the fact that my parents, when they first immigrated, they came under the visa program that allowed for folks with certain educational backgrounds to come, but they had no assets. So they lived in subsidized housing. That's where, you know, I was born into that community. And so law and policy choices growing up, and how immigrants are treated, how they are included, how they are excluded, based on name, religion, cuisine, culture, dress, all of it, is what I grew up with. And the choice to become a lawyer, too, in that community was kind of an extraordinary one, right? I was always told, Sudha, you are so smart. Why are you going into law school, right? Which is a cultural norm that they carried with them. And I know that that resonates with some of you who have had similar paths. And I think that the space in the law is one where I was constantly feeling like there was not a whole lot of people who looked like me, not a lot of people who shared my cultural experience. And for me, I didn't know any lawyers before I went to law school. So literally I came just knowing nothing about how the law worked, right? I was one of those people who early on in law school was making notes like, oh, there's a different thing. There's federal law and there's state law. Let me like write this down and try to figure out what this means. And I felt like I was behind the curve for a long time. And it was the process of going through law school, of working as a lawyer, and then entering academia that started allowing me to kind of think about my own kind of fulfillment in this space. And so I did a lot of, like, I don't get to do a lot of scholarly writing now. The life of a dean does not allow for that in a way that I like. But, I started writing about the ways in which in the post-September 11th context, South Asians in particular were marginalized by the way that our law works, that we have very little access to accountability in government, government accountability here and in other countries in that space. So that was a space that I felt like needed more writing, needed more representation, and needed people with different perspectives to come and speak and to write and to argue. And so that's what I did for many, many years. And I think I found my voice in that space. It was important to understand the importance of this work and to be part of conversations where someone with my life experience, my scholarly background and whatever else was able to have conversations with policymakers and others who could make change. And so I think when I got into leadership, one of the things that was really important to me is to build those pipelines for other people I think it's wonderful to be a trailblazer in certain places, but it is also very lonely. It's hard. I'm just going to admit that straight out. And so I don't want other people to feel that way. I became the first South Asian woman to ever serve as a dean of an accredited law school in 2018. I am still the only one who ever has, right? And that's not good, right? Like, it's been 6 years. I was hoping that at least a couple more people would, come through in that space. So one of the reasons that I helped found that workshop in 2021 for Asian American women in legal academia is to say, let's build some pipelines, right? Not only for people who want to enter the profession of legal teaching, or even law librarianship or other aspects of being part of the academy that are vital and important, but also how do we do that to convince people to be leaders and to feel like they are supported and not alone and not dealing with imposter syndrome and all of the other things in that space. And so we started that year. I remember the planning committee. It was 6 or 8 of us. It was 2021, so it was on Zoom. And we thought maybe no one will show up and it'll just be 8 of us who are hanging out on Zoom for 2 days. We'll find out. We had over 100 people who joined for that first convening, and in subsequent convenings in person, including the one we held at CUNY last fall, We had over 100 people come in person over 2 days. And it's community, it's professional networking, it's education, and it's empowerment. And that's what this group is doing. And so that's one of the reasons why the answer to the question was, well, of course, yes. Of course we will host this. Because the work that you all do is the same work. Right? It's building scholarly knowledge. It's professional development. It's community building across the whole AAPI community, which, as Diana was talking about, is so broad, so incredibly broad. But there is power in the solidarity that comes in this community. And anything we can do to foster that, anything that we can do to build together, the law school can do to work with Ari and work across the campuses of CUNY to help lift up these voices and help empower people in these spaces. That's what I want to do, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to see all of you here today. Thank you for being here. As Chumtholi said, if this is your first time to the law school, don't let it be your last. Let's find other ways to bring you back and to have continue these conversations. So thank you so much for this. Really appreciate it. And please, as Chumtholi said, get to know the programs at the law school, like the First Impressions program. I know you have programming that deals with K-12 education. This is the space that we are trying to enter into to build pathways, to build strong structures of engagement. We have that for college students as well, and we're trying to get more people from across the CUNY system to get involved with the law school. So let's keep talking. This is the start of a longer conversation. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful day. Appreciate it.